Grab your Bible or your Bible app. Not your texting app, but your Bible app. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. But I want to preach to you today on the four P's of belief. Four P's of belief. Very simple, right? Very simple. I want to come to you today and to let you know that the day and hour that we're living in is filled with trouble and chaos, but we are not left without hope. And in this world and situation that we're dealing with and we're moving into, and the church, the signs of it being persecuted is already happening, but it's getting near, coming closer to home, going to become more intense. I'm going to preach to you a message today to leave you with the hope and to let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're not living in a fairy story world. We're living in a world of reality, but we've got to make up our mind today that we're going to follow Jesus Christ no matter the circumstances that comes our way. We're going to follow Him. Amen. Amen. So in John chapter 14, beginning at verse number 1, as you stand for the reading of God's Word, since we don't stand a lot here, we want to stand in reverence unto the Lord for His Word. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There isn't any other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. That's it. Period. Heavenly Father, let your word come alive in our hearts and our lives. Anoint these lips of clay in our hearts that we may receive. We thank you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. One today would be very hard-pressed to recognize that we do not live in a chaotic world. We live in chaotic times with chaotic circumstances. The last several months we have been bombarded with this pandemic that has caused a lot of chaos. And regardless of how you feel about it or the election, we have been stonewalled into a corrupt world. Even a blind man could see. Yet we have spent millions of dollars, might I add, taxpayers' dollars, to prove that which is so obvious. I'm getting there, hang in there, okay? In the last several months, gas prices have skyrocketed, groceries have gotten higher. And I was told yesterday, or day before yesterday, now by a certain store manager, they would almost take a full-time individual to keep up with the rising prices, price changes on groceries. Whether you want to believe it or not, our religious freedoms are in full-fledged attack. We're not in China, and they're going through things that we can't even imagine, but we are being bombarded with attack on our religious freedoms in this day of our freedom of America. Churches have been forced to shut down, while businesses along with Walmart have continued to stay open while people run over each other. Some places, they have forbid the church congregations to even sing, while others having outside services have been forbidden to do so and been fined $1 million for not obeying their local governments. At the beginning of my text, Jesus told his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. That in the midst of Christ telling them of his betrayal, his persecution, and his death, while giving them the simple yet heart-wrenching truth, he encouraged them to believe on God's promises, God's plan, Jesus as a person, and that he is going to prepare a place for them. Are you listening closely? The four P's of belief. Even though Christ spoke to his disciples over 2,000 years ago, as they faced the crisis, and there was more to that than as Jesus was explaining to them. He was explaining to them what was fixing to happen to him. He was going to go away, but he was coming back. Thomas, along with the rest of them, was kind of confused. Not only that, he told them, if you believe in the Father, believe also in me. There is something behind that, because Brother Ronnie, the Jews was taught from all the way back to Moses, there was one God, and you only believe in that one God. And now Jesus is saying that me and my Father is one, and they are absolutely out of their mind trying to figure out what is going on, along with Jesus leaving after 30 plus years, and he had put confidence in them. You understand the dilemma? That there was multiple things going on. That they was taught only to believe in God. That's all. And Jesus said, if you believe in my Father, believe in me also now. So all that was going through their mind. They was trying to figure out, okay, you've been here, now you're leaving, you're being persecuted, being all this has been happening. What in the world's going to happen to us? What's going on? And Jesus said, I'm the way, follow me. And Thomas said, where are we going to go? We don't have an atlas. We don't have a GPS. Jesus said, oh, but you do. Oh, but you do. Are you with me? Jesus not only was speaking to the disciples then in their time of crisis, he's speaking to us today in our time of crisis. I believe with all of my heart, just as sure as it was the closeness of him being betrayed, crucified, raising from the dead in the disciples' time, so it is the closeness in our time for him to return and fulfill that promise that he made to the disciples. Come on, church. Listen, what are you going to do when your bank account's dry? Or they froze all your assets? What are you going to do when you can't buy anything from the store? What are you going to do when you have no one to pray for you except you reaching out and touching God yourself? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm here to tell you, 30 years ago, we had thought that would never happen. Today, you better wake up, because it's fixing to happen. You go to the store almost every week, and there's something else out of. They don't have. They can't get. I went to the store the other day just to get a little deal of mustard, and there wasn't any. And I asked the clerk, I said, where'd you put the mustard? He said, there isn't any. Mustard? Really? Put that next to the toilet paper. I don't know. We live in a chaotic world, and there are certain things that you need to be paying attention to. Certain things you need to be paying attention to. My prayer is today, church. I don't want to miss something. I want to touch your hearts. I haven't got to preach to you and see you in 2 weeks. So I want to touch your heart today. I feel strong in my heart and my spirit. You need to feel the presence of God like you've never felt before. And you need to see the urgency. And yet in all this urgency and all this crisis, we need not fear. Don't let your hearts be troubled. God has a plan. God has a future for us. And my prayer today is that you will make up your mind that we're going to serve Christ. We're going to believe in every word that he said and everything that he has done. We're going to stand firm and steadfast on Jesus Christ, just as he spoke to our hearts, regardless of what the rest of the world says. So in the next few minutes, I want to expound to you the four P's. Of what Jesus Christ himself told us to believe in. Look at your neighbor and said, you've got to believe. I believe it will profit you well if we will search our hearts and make a commitment as never before to put our fully trust and our belief and our focus on Jesus Christ, and keep our eyes upon the eastern sky for His soon return. So with that being said, number one, Jesus is expounding to us and telling His disciples and telling to us today, how many knows that there's no time frame in what Jesus spoke? He spoke to our hearts right now, just like He spoke to His disciples. He told us that we are to believe in that person, Jesus Christ. So the first P is person. We are to believe in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Let not your hearts be troubled, He said. You believe in God, believe also in Me. It's not just any person, but it's the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. If you can remember far enough back, or if you can remember your children, when they was afraid in the middle of the night, a thunderstorm or maybe a rattle outside their window, it was Mom and Daddy that they desired to get close to. And when they could get close to Mom and Daddy, or they could jump in bed with Mom and Daddy, they felt secure. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. You believe in God, believe also in Me. If you'll get up in My arms, you don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to let your hearts be troubled in this times of crisis. Can I tell you that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, he told the Jewish people back then, he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with every being, every fiber within you. I wonder today, church, how much are we loving Him? Are we giving Him just a section? Are we giving Him just a part? Are we giving Him the love that He deserves? Are we giving Him just what's left over? Or are we giving Him what's convenient? But when we commit, come on, it's a good time to say amen. Would you preach with me? Let me know you are glad to have me back home. Okay? There's a little church out in the meadow just below Sula, Montana that would be very inviting, even if nobody showed up. It's when we commit everything to Jesus Christ that we feel His strength, His confidence in this chaotic world in which we're living in. It's when we commit totally to Him. It's when that child commits totally to their mom and daddy in the face of fear, that fear subsides. I might have been a little cynical or crazy or whatever, but I used to, when the boys was little, I wouldn't do that now, but when the boys were little, I'd put them up on the cabinet and tell them to jump in my arms, and I'd catch them. First few times, Brother Aaron, they was a little leery, till they realized that I would catch them no matter what. And then they become comfortable, and they thought it was fun. They had that security, they had that peace. I'm here to tell you, when you're standing on the edge of the cliff and you don't know where to turn and don't know what to do, and it looks like danger's all around you, just jump in the arms of Jesus and you can rest assured He'll catch you. He'll catch you. When we commit everything to Jesus Christ, it's then that we feel the strength, the confidence in this chaotic world, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen, listen, listen. Our relationship with Him gives us that peace. Your relationship cannot be determined by what Mom and Daddy or Grandma and Grandpa believed. It's time that you fulfill that relationship with you and Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me, church? Our relationship with Jesus Christ gives us that peace. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said that My Father and I are one. To believe what Jesus said is to believe who He is. To believe what Jesus said is to believe in who He is. You've got to believe. It's impossible to even be saved without believing on Jesus Christ. Amen. You have to believe. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Believing that He is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, believing and knowing who He is. So we've got to believe on the person. That man is Jesus Christ. Secondly of all, the second P is we have to believe in a place. Somebody put it like this. He's got a place to put people like us. Aren't you glad? It's a real place. It's not a fictional place. It's a tangible place. It's a place that He went to prepare for us. He told us in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Aren't you glad that He is preparing a place for us? He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." It's not a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. It's not a room somewhere. But it is a place that has many mansions. And I'm going to occupy that place if I stay faithful and true to Him. But I'll give you encouragement today. And believe in Jesus. Believe in that person. Believe in the place that He's got for us. Just as our earthly father, if he had taken a job, and some of you probably experienced this, if our earthly father had taken a job out of town and he had to go early to into that city and buy the house that he was going to live in, start his job, and you can imagine perhaps that little boy of his begin to cry because daddy was going to leave earlier and have to go into the city and we're going to be gone for a week or so, and that daddy would pick that little boy up and say, "Son, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go get your house ready. We'll get a place for you. You're going to have a place to ride your bicycle. You're going to have a place to build a tree house in the backyard, a place to play. You're going to make new friends." That little boy would dry his eyes real quickly in anticipation. You know, within a week that daddy would return to take him to his house. Is that not what Jesus was doing to the disciples? Is that not what Jesus was saying to us today? "I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again." It is vitally important, church, that we believe in that place. What a beautiful description that Jesus is saying to us about His house that has many mansions. It means spectacular. He's not going to build an ordinary place, but it is spectacular. I read a story where there's basically two huge mansions here in the United States. I think one in Georgia and one in California. One has 150 some rooms and one has over 200 rooms. And both of those men, one of them died before it was even complete. The other died shortly after, had a heart attack and wasn't able to enjoy it. But there's been kings overseas that has built mansion after mansion. In, I think it was Germany several years ago, he had built so many mansions that he almost bankrupt Germany and had to be taken out of office. But I'm talking about a mansion that's eternal. That's the description that he gives us in heaven. Is our minds can't even wrap around it. It's spectacular. It's a wonderful place he is planning and he is building for us right now. Can I just indulge a little bit in this? We just got back from one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen on God's green earth. I don't know how many of you have been to Montana. Some of you maybe live in Montana. Several I know has commented on Colorado, and it's beautiful. But to me, Montana took another step. You step into a river that is so clear and beautiful and crystal. It's like turning on your water faucet. It's so clear and beautiful. It's awesome. The mountains and the valleys are so lush and beautiful that it's hard for the mind to even imagine taking a picture of them and sharing them with some of you, and will later, perhaps as well, doesn't capture the true beauty of seeing it in person and smelling that air of the pine trees and the cedar trees. I'm telling you right now, church, the description that Jesus tells about heaven is way beyond what I just experienced and told you about Montana. And by the way, God created that place too. It's nothing to be compared for this world of any stretch of our imagination. And Jesus is going to prepare. This place that we visited is temporary, but where Jesus is going to prepare for us is eternal. Are you excited yet about going?
Yes.
I tell you what, I could not wait to leave for Montana 3 weeks ago, this coming Tuesday. And I didn't want to leave it when I left it. But I'm here to tell you that nothing can compare to the anticipation that I have when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I will come again. We have gotten so accustomed to this world. We've gotten so accustomed to things here that we have the attitude and we have the actions like we're just going to stay here forever. But I'm here fixing to tell you that this thing, this place is almost over. It's almost gone. Things are wrapping up. We're going to a place that is eternal. Amen. Where streets are pure gold. Yes. A crystal river runs by. That's going to make those up in Montana look very minute. Hey, I just come by to tell you that Jesus loves you. He is a real person and we got to believe in Him. And He is preparing for us a real place. Well, I knew preparing this message wasn't going to be short. But I didn't expect to have to pass out pillows either. He is preparing for us a future. Another awesome thing about this is what caught my attention. He said we get to live in Daddy's house. We get to live in our Father's house. And with that being said, I can remember as a child going back to where my daddy was raised and where Grandma had that wood cook stove and she'd fix muffins and she'd fix a big old breakfast. And Brother Ronnie, if I had an opportunity to stay all night with her, put us in that feather bed way back in the back corner. And she didn't have no central heat or air. It was that wood stove in the very front living room. And she put enough covers on us. You couldn't move if you wanted to, but oh, how well you slept. There was something special about Father's house. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm starting to feel something right about now because I'm fixing to go to Father's house. I don't have to worry about no feather beds. I don't think. I ain't going to worry about it. But wherever the Father is, and His Son, I'm going to feel at home. Anybody with me? Yeah. I'm going to move into my brand new home. We have not moved into heaven yet. But it gives us strength, hope, and excitement to know that in this chaotic world, we're going to leave it all behind for the joy and the bliss of heaven. And add to that for all eternity. And listen to this. I run across this passage of Scripture. I don't know if you've ever read it before or ever caught your attention like this, but I'm going to read it like this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 11 and 12, or verse number 11, I believe, it says, He hath made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Grab hold of that. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning or from the end. Isn't that awesome? Someone once said, home is where the heart is. Jesus tells us that where our treasures are, there will our hearts be also. So the big question is, where is your treasures located and what's your heart longing for? That's the big question. As we wait for His return, I want to encourage you to trust to Him and for His care for you. He cares about you. Trust Him. Trust Him to care for you, to meet all your needs. Keep your eyes focused on the sky and allow His peace and His calm to settle all your anxieties, knowing that we have a Savior and He is preparing a place for us. Are you ready for the second half? Yeah. Number three, the third P is the promise. Aren't you glad that God's promises are yeah and amen? Hey, yes. Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the first part of that, it said that God is not slack concerning His promises. Hey, I could hoop and I could holler today and I'm excited about being back and I could turn red in the face, but I've got a message I want to touch your hearts with today. I don't want you to miss anything. I said, I have a message that I want to touch your heart. We got to believe in a person. We got to believe in a place. We got to believe in a promise. I don't know about you, but I hate for someone to promise me something and not fulfill it. But I can rest assured you that every one of God's promises are yea and amen. He is faithful. He is true. He is not slack concerning them. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 said, For all the promises of God are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us, for us. Listen. The word yea in the original Greek means sure, to be sure. And the word translated amen means firm. And for His name's sake, for Christ's name's sake, He will fulfill His promise. For they are sure and they are firm because He is faithful and He is true. Man, that deserved a lot more amens than it got. God's promises are our rock. Verse 3, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. I will receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise. Somebody say, that's a promise. Look at your neighbor, grab him by the arm and say, I said, that's a promise. That's a promise. And He will not fail. Our comfort is in the promise of looking forward to His return. Our comfort is when He will come to take us away from all of our problems, heartaches of this life and out of this chaotic world. One of the deepest truths is not found in the master of words. One of the deepest truths is not found in the professor of theology. But it is found in the children's song that simply says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We stand on the promises of God, believing that He has spoken to us and He has and will fulfill that promise. I said, He will fulfill that promise. Just as sure as I'm standing here, just as sure as I am back from Montana, as much as I loved it, I still like being here with you folks. Thank you. Those 3 and 4 amens will keep me here. We stand on the promises of God. Church, there's no doubt. We need our Lord's promises as we continue to walk the uncharted roads of this life. Hello? We may lose a battle every now and then, but you can rest assured that Christ has already won the war. Can I tell you something? If General Douglas MacArthur could tell the people of the Philistines, I shall return, they believed him and he did return and liberate them. Just as more sure when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place and I will come and receive into myself, that where I am you may be also, He will return and take us home to be with Him. Jesus said, believe in the Father, believe in me, believe in my new home, believe in the promises. And I understand, I'm human just like you are. Sometimes it's hard to believe when we're facing the difficulties in life that we are. Sometimes it's really hard to grab a hold of that belief when we have the problems and our world is so filled with all the junk that it's filled with. But can I tell you, the hope and the joy comes from the invisible reality. It's not what you're experiencing, but it's what you know through the Word of God that's going to get you out of here. It's believing in that invisible reality that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, is that person. That He is going to prepare a place for you that we can live with Him forever. That's heaven. And that He has given us a promise that He would return and He would take us home to be with Him. And you know what? Beyond a shadow of doubt, He has a plan for you and He will bring it to pass. Did you hear me? Jeremiah 29:11, He said, I have a plan for you, a good plan for you. So we can believe in that person, Jesus Christ. We can believe in that place called heaven. We can believe in the promise that He's going to fulfill it. Can I get a great big amen?
Amen.
Glory. Number 4. We can believe with everything that's within us that He does have a plan. He does have a plan. I just quoted to you Jeremiah 29:11. But in John 14:6, our text says, Jesus answered, said, I am the way and the truth, and I am the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. And all of Thomas's questions, Jesus made it very clear that He has a plan. I said, Jesus made it very clear that He has a plan. Aren't you glad that He has a plan? He said, just follow me. Will you give me about 10 more minutes? I got a revelation to give you right now that you're going to understand completely. We have Jesus, he's a person. We have heaven, that's a home. We have a promise, he's coming back. He has a plan. Okay? Jesus said, I'm coming back. And I mentioned this just briefly a while ago, but I want to expound on it a little bit more. I will tell you, Thomas, in all his questions, Jesus did make it very clear that he had a plan. He said, just follow me. And I'll also tell you, if it wasn't for our GPS on our trip to Montana and back, our trip would have been very chaotic. I promise you. There was a couple places up in the mountains was pretty hard to find. But you know what? I had to learn. By the time I got there, Brother Aaron, I told the wife, I said, it's got us this far. Surely it won't fail us now. Hello? Are you ready to preach with me? It's got us this far. It won't fail us now. Jesus has got us this far. Whatever you face, he's not going to fail you now. But I assure you, it would have been very chaotic. But because of our GPS, we just put in the address, and it took us exactly where we were supposed to go. It was totally amazing. I did not have to worry. All I had to do was follow that woman that I didn't even know on the GPS. Isn't it amazing we can put our trust in people we don't know, but we sometimes lack in putting our trust in God, who we should know. But I'll tell you something right now. Jesus Christ is our GPS. He told Thomas, just follow me. Man, I've been gone way too long. I said, he told Thomas, just follow me. Jesus is our global positioning Savior. I'll write that down for you if you need me to later. He shows us the way to heaven. But wait. He don't just show us. He said, I'll take you there. Glory. Somebody ought to be shouting right about now. He don't just tell us. He takes us there. Because he himself is our journey. You ever went to... before the GPS, you don't need to stop and ask directions. A man don't do that anyway. But before we had GPSs, we had to stop and ask direction after we had circled for the last hour and a half in the same vicinity. And you walk into the store and you ask the cashier, can you tell me how to get to such and such place? And in his hurriedly speedy voice, he says, oh yeah, take the first right, go down to the third stoplight, take a dog leg left, straight in front of you is the Methodist Church, go four or five intersections down. If you see a Big Mac, you've gone too far, you just want to go to the second stoplight, just past the old filling station. And while you're retrieving your pen to write it all down, wouldn't it be great if you heard him say, wait a minute, I get off in about 3 minutes, and if you'll wait, I'll take you there. I'm speaking to somebody. Wouldn't it be great if he'd stop and say, I'm getting off in 3 minutes, and I'll just take you there. That's what Jesus told Thomas. He said, if you'll just believe in me as a person, if you'll believe in the place I'm going to prepare for you, if you'll believe in my promises, if you'll believe in my plan, if you'll just hang on, I'll take you there. See, that's where we get confused. We don't understand that Jesus is the way. And he will take us there. He will take us there. I had stopped at a store somewhere between here and there. And I was looking for something specific. I can't remember now where it was, honestly. And I looked for something specifically, and it was one of those huge stores. And I asked one of the clerks there, this is God's truth. This is before I got this message together. I said, can you tell me, do you have such and such? And she said, yeah, I think we have some over here. I'll take you there. I was so happy that she took the time to go all the way across the store to show me what she didn't have. I was looking for a special gift. But she took the time. But I just come by to tell you that Jesus is going to take you somewhere where He has something for you. A place of eternal bliss and rest. I'm closing, I think. Chris, if you'd come to the piano. Understand, church, that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I read some statistics. It's almost 50% of the church world today feel like that there's possibly another way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus said Himself, there is no other way. And if you try to get there any other way, you're same as a thief and a robber, and you won't make it to start with. He is the only way. I'm closing. It's vitally important that you believe in Jesus. You believe in heaven. You believe in His promises. And you believe He has a plan for you. We've got to answer that call. There's a story told about Ruth Ann Mizgar. Most of you probably never met her. I haven't. She's a world-renowned instructor, lecturer, conductor both of choir and orchestra. How many's ever heard of her? Good. I get to tell you the story for the first time then. True story. Very amazing woman, and has been asked to sing in great venues, great places. She was asked to sing at a wedding of a millionaire that had reserved the top two floors of the tallest building in Seattle, Washington. Next to the top floor was where the wedding was going to be. The next top floor was the reception. She sang at the wedding. Everybody was happy. Everybody was blessed. When the bride and groom saluted each other with a kiss, and the invitation was given to go to the top floor for the reception, they begin to file out, go to the elevator where there was a conductor there in a tuxedo and a bow tie. Had the names written in the book who was invited to the reception. When Miss Ruth Ann and her husband got up there, she told them who they were. He scoured the book and her name wasn't there. He looked again. Her name wasn't there. She said, there has to be some kind of mistake. I'm Miss Mizgar. I sung at the wedding. Surely I can go to the reception. Surely. He said, ma'am, your name's not on here. Your husband's name's not on here. He called for an usher. They was taken downstairs to the parking garage. Silence. Her husband didn't say a word to her. She didn't say a word. As they got in their car and they started home, he finally got the courage to say, honey, what happened? Why wasn't we able to go to the reception? She said, honey, you know, I got so busy and everything I was doing, I forgot to return the RSVP. I figured, what's the big deal? Everybody knows me. I'm singing at the wedding. So what's the big deal? I just didn't return the RSVP. So I didn't get to go to the wedding. When everybody else was enjoying the expensive hors d'oeuvres, sadly they traveled back home without enjoying the wedding reception.
So with heads bowed and eyes closed today, under any circumstances, I do not want you to remember or to forget your RSVP. No matter what, there's nothing in this world more important than you believing in Jesus Christ.